relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now, the perfect triangle.
Como va? Welcome to episode 22 of The Perfect Triangle. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo, deep in a bunker 11 miles west of the District of Criminals. Vaccine-free, nasal rape-free, mask-free, and believe me, I intend to stay that way. You know, it's just getting more and more insane. We're coming up on some seriously dark days, some literally satanic type of hell, because the globalist parasites who do serve Satan, the evil beyond space, beyond time, have really got the upper hand. They control the banks. They control this government. They control Big Pharma. They control the military-industrial complex. They control Big Agra. They control education. They control everything. That's why they no longer care whether you know that they're stealing this election for Groper Joe Biden or not. So, as such, we're in a bad way, and all we can do is be true to ourselves, be true to the divine. And if you're a warrior like myself, like Scorpio, like Jim Fetzer, our guest tonight, the legendary Jim Fetzer, like so many others, Chris Weiner, all the hosts at Revolution Radio, absolutely all warriors and heroes fighting this. And our good associates on Jim's Daily News Show, Need to Know the Fetzer Report, Michael Ivey, Carl Herman, and so many more. And we're fighting, and you should fight too. But you know, you're really up against a weird kind of mind control, and that's this whole lie of COVID-19. Ooh, the nanoterrorists, ooh. It's really become like a religion. Vaccinations are quackery, and so they ignore science. They work in the realm of pseudoscience, in the realm of mumbo jumbo, in the realm of something insane, like their daily response to any question for facts and proof. The science is settled. Now, if you know anyone who's a scientist or an engineer or an astronomer or an investigator of any type, they will tell you science is never settled. Science is always seeking to learn more. Science is always pushing for new discoveries, new understandings, new connections. That's all you need to know about the 246-year history of quaxinations is that they claim the science is settled. But it's not just vaccinations. It's all the whole Rockefeller-driven, allopathic medicine, right? Big pharma. They've killed millions upon millions of people in their 110-year existence. But you know what? It's like a religion. And hats off to the brilliant Michael Ivey. He sent out a amazing email the other day about a Frenchman, a wise man, Olivier Claire, who wrote an amazing book in 2004 called Modern Medicine, The New World Religion. And this is so true in how really the globalist parasites are rolling out this new world order, great reset, new normal, because for the cowards who wear masks and who are going to get in line to take that vaccination, it is a religious cult for them. And think about it. Here's the 10 bullet points that really prove his contention that modern medicine, big pharma, has been a mind rape and it's turned into a cult, a religion. So the first point, physicians have taken the role of priests with the lab coats and the surgical garb replacing robes. Number two, vaccination plays the same initiatory role as baptism. You have to be baptized to be in our religion. If you're not, we're going to take care of you. And it's the same way with vaccinations now. Eradication of viruses has taken the place of exorcising demons. The hope of physical immortality, cloning, genetic engineering, cybernetics, becoming one with the AI, like the goofs at Google are so trying to do, has substituted for faith in the soul and spiritual immortality. And that's so true that the materialists, the globalist parasites who do not believe in an afterlife, that's all they're after. And that's how they've hypnotized the average sheeple to believe. Point five, pills have replaced the Christian sacraments of bread and wine, or pills and shots, I would add. Donations to medical research, like those phony, bloated charities like cancer and AIDS and Parkinson's and Wear the Pink for breast cancer, have replaced tithing to the churches. Number seven, medical institutions help the government justify all sorts of nonsense, just as the Catholic Church did when it really wielded ultimate power centuries past. Charlatans, as in people like myself, board certified and licensed natural medicine practitioner. In my case, I'm a doctor of oriental medicine, an acupuncturist, and a natural nutritionist, Chinese herbology, blah, blah, blah. Great stuff. Way better than allopathic solutions. You only need allopathic medicine, corporate medicine, for two things. If you're horribly injured or have a heart attack, you got to go to the emergency room. They'll save your life. They're the best at that. And the innovations and improvements in surgery are very impressive. Anything else, you should not be on pharmaceuticals, only if it's to save your life, not to believe in the whole magic pill, which should be point number 11. The magic pill will cure you. A magic pill from your priest will kill you. That's 11. So now the charlatans, such as myself, are persecuted as the heretics were yesterday. Number nine, medical dogmatism, such as science is settled, rules out open-minded alternative health approaches. And number 10, the same absence of individual responsibility now found in Western corporate medicine was previously done for the big churches, especially the Catholics, will tell you what to do, will take care of you. And now you've got the nanny state, the corporate nanny state, will tell you what you need to wear a mask, will tell you when you need to get this shot. And I'll add number 11, the magic pill from the mystical priests. What a bunch of crap. What an absolute bunch of crap. And I'm now joined by my co-host, Scorpio, who's got one of the highest rated shows on Revolution Radio called Operation Scorpio, Exploring the Known and the Unknown, which will be on tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And Scorpio and I co-host the Wisdom Circle, which is growing in popularity, Wednesdays, noon to 2. And as such, welcome, Scorpio, to the Perfect Triangle.
Yes, hello, Giuseppe, and welcome to the Holy Church of COVID.
No kidding.
Where we must take the Holy Sacrament of vaccines and participate in the ritual of masking. Yes.
That's exactly right.
By the priests in white lab coats.
Yep, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. The priests in lab coats and the priests in their medical garb. It's so weird, you know. What great power created humans as we currently exist, and it wasn't evolution. Jim's a big believer in evolution, but I don't believe it. I think it's a theory that's easily disproven. Whoever adapted life forms on this planet to essentially become the sentient humans we are now had the good sense to put in our brains the God area, which is we are just desperate to obey and worship someone we believe is a higher power than us. And the globalist parasites understand that only too well, as you have learned in your research and revealed on your show for months and months about how, the century of the self and how they've just gone overboard in their ways to figure out mind control. And you know what? They're quite good at it.
Well, yeah, and I don't believe in evolution either. I believe in, microevolution, where, species change gradually over time. But, a fish doesn't turn into a salamander and then turns into a monkey somehow. And if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys?
There you go.
One group of monkeys decided to stay the same for millions of years, then other monkeys decided to create culture, art, music, language, and shed their bodies of hair. I don't buy it. Sorry.
Well, and the checkmate about evolution is a farce is that the father of evolution theory himself, when he was dying, said I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. It's not true. And but you know what? That never matters to the controllers who write the fiction that is history, write the fiction that is archaeology, write the fiction that is allopathic corporate medicine, the fiction that is government, the fiction that is everything. It's all fiction. It's all a narrative to benefit those few elite subhuman parasites in power.
Yeah, that's true. Well, good summary.
Thank you, sir. Well, Jim's supposed to join us. He has the link on StreamYard. He may be having technical issues. And but the big deal, I see we have some comments. Let's take a look. Hey, Dirt Engineer and Heath, Branch COVIDians, that's a great go to Dirt Engineer and Heath on our video cast, and we also say hello to all the Revolution Radio chatters, Deviant, Mitchell, Batsman, Dry Fly Guy, Eagle Flower, Wally, Pat Rabbit, who's a host and management here. Control Me Not, what a great name. Somebody, Boy Solomon, Jer Bear, another manager here. Mona, a great host, longtime host. Rudolph, Open Philosopher, Dirt Engineer. Is that the same in both? Monster, May ST-139, Hummingbird, Omega Logos, Flippy, hey, even Jimmy Jean. He's an amazing host here. Grog, Jackpop, The Kraken, not much of it, Comet, Willow, Surrey Sunflower in the kitchen. Thanks, everybody, for joining the chat. And if you'd like to join the show, we do take callers in the second hour, and that will be you probably need to message me. I've been working with the tech people at Skype. I pay for a phone number. Hey, there's UK Steve. He's listening. That's cool. So I should be able to see it ring when you call 703-879-8880. It never does. It just goes to the voicemail. So if you want to message me or message Scorpio, and we'll call you if you want to use a cell phone or a landline. You can't use Magic Jack. You can't use Google Voice because they don't want to play well with Microsoft, or Microsoft doesn't want to play well with them. Or look up Giuseppe, G-I-U-S-E-P-P-E, Vafangulo, V-A-F-A-N-C-U-L-O on Skype, and shoot me a message and we'll pull you into the conversation in the second hour. So the big deal, Scorpio, why Jim's joining us is his False Flags and Conspiracy mega virtual conference that begins tomorrow for 11 hours or 12 hours and then runs to Sunday. I mean, Jim never does anything small, does he?
Yeah, this is going to be good, man. Lots of far out research and people not afraid to tell the truth.
Yeah, man. You know, telling the truth these days is a dangerous occupation. But if you have courage and a warrior like you and I and Chris Weinert, who would typically join us, but he's driving to New Hampshire.
He's on the Lone Highway.
Yeah, there you go. Good one. Yeah. What a great song that is. The heading to New Hampshire for his significant other's funeral of her grandmother. So we give our condolences and shout out to the brutal honesty guy. I mean, talk about a talented historian. In some ways, he's like a young Fetzer. You know, they just are able to retain a stunning amount of data and knowledge. It's like on the great sci-fi series, seminal, the Dune series with the human computers, the Mentats. They're like a couple of Mentats when they get going. It's really cool to be around. So,
yeah. Brutal Honesty, aka Chris Weinert. That guy's like a German supercomputer, man. That guy has so much information in his head. He has to slow down when he talks because there's so much to put out.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, I have a question. In the need to know, the Fetzer report that we recorded today and that will be playing on all the Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter options, as well as being uploaded to BitChute Jim Fetzer channel and BitChute Need to Know the Fetzer Report channel, as well as Brighteon Need to Know the Fetzer Report channel. Really interesting story about the devastating effects of lockdowns. And one of the countries they looked at for increased number of deaths was Ecuador. So tell us, last March when Ecuador did their lockdown, what was it like?
There wasn't really much of a lockdown, to be honest, because see, in most South American countries, they don't have the infrastructure to enforce these mandates. Like they can say, oh, we're locking you down, you have to do this, you have to do that. They have no way to enforce it, so people just do whatever they want. And so there wasn't a whole lot to it, to be honest.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And of course, the media won't tell you that because they don't want you to know that certain countries don't have the ability or the infrastructure to enforce these bogus mandates. And, you know, really the same goes for the United States. They don't have enough jail space to send people into if people don't comply. The cops can't deal with 500,000 people that say, hey, screw you, we're not going along with it. They don't want people to know that and know the great power that they actually have.
Wow. Isn't that true? I mean, that's true of every country, the great power that we actually possess. But instead, we're enslaved via mind control. It's just such a messed up thing, and it's in full display right now. I mean, can you believe the insanity about this ridiculous so-called COVID second wave, which is not at all what it is, as we previously discussed in various shows, but we'll revisit it again. And by the way, in the video webcast, Lark from Texas Vlogs is hello, Lark. Thanks for joining us down in Big D, Dallas. That's where Jim, I think, was going to have his physical conference, or maybe it was Austin, but that would have been cool. You know, it's funny that they've stolen so much of our life with this deception, this massive fraud to drive the fear-addled goyim cattle to willingly take a deadly and transhumanist altering mRNA vaccine that literally will seek to rewrite your DNA with horrific results. Mark my words, it's coming. And anyway, where I was going was, I lost my thought. I started thinking about how horrible it was going to be.
Well, yeah, if you take that vaccine, there's no turning back.
Yep.
There's no way to detoxify your body, and there's no way to know what it's actually going to do to you. You know, they skipped all the animal testing with this so-called vaccine.
Intentionally.
I think they've had it ready for years,
yeah.
And it actually has nothing to do with COVID-19. It's some type of plan to re-engineer human beings on multiple levels.
Oh, I remember where I was going. That this so-called second wave that they're just shrieking about an entire jungle of macaws all shrieking at the same time is actually there is no second wave. Here's what it really is. Number one, you've had human beings in intense anxiety, fear, and dread over this phony SARS-CoV-2. I mean, it's not phony, it's real, but you have a 99.997% chance of surviving it. It's really just a nasty chest cold combined with the flu shot. Early flu shot is absolutely toxic. It's absolutely making people sick. And it's even got a trigger in it for the SARS-CoV-2, which is really just a nasty, nasty chest cold. And thirdly, as any natural healer will tell you, people get sick when the weather changes. Seasonal change affects the human body. The arrogant allopathic materialist, corporate medicine, oh, no, weather doesn't affect the body. They're such fools. They're such arrogant know-nothings. Weather totally affects health. And people, especially from fall, if it's a warm fall to winter, they'll get sick. That's the so-called second wave. And here he is, our featured guest, Dr. Jim Fetzer. How are you, sir?
Oh, thank you, Giuseppe Scorpio. Excellent to see you both.
Yeah, you too, Jim. How's it going?
Wow. Talk about pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There we are. I think things are unfolding. And I think everyone out there should think about joining us tomorrow for the Volkswagen Conspiracies 2020 conference. Giuseppe, as I may have explained to you, I want to do this every year. So 2020 will be followed by 2021, 2022. There's so much going on you cannot understand if you don't grasp the nature of these false flag attacks, and that conspiracies are ubiquitous. We are living in a whirlwind of conspiracies. And my objective is to make it all intelligible by doing collaborative research, by bringing experts in areas where I am not, to take things apart and separate reality from illusion.
What a noble intent, Jim. And by the way, worldwide listeners and viewers, let's join together and wish Jim a happy 80th birthday coming this Sunday. Jim, proud to know you as a friend, and have admired you for over a decade as a fan. And what a dynamo at 80 years old, man. 80 years old. How do you feel, and how do you keep going with such energy?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. My wife just arranged for us to have a little mini life insurance to cover my funeral expenses. Yesterday.
Well, that's got to make you feel good. What a birthday present.
Look, I never denied my mortality,
oh,
right?
Of course not.
Any more than I do my fallibility. It's it's life. It's part of being alive,
Well, that's, Jim, in my opinion, it's sad with the globalist parasites dumb down much of the population of humans and keep them at the level of about a six-year-old, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and yet they have advanced frontal lobe function, frontal cortex function. So they're low impulse control, can think fast, especially with all the gaming things and other things that are going on. And realistically, what's lacking so sadly is wisdom, is patience, is being comfortable with that this is just a brief ride and that death is a part of life. But, they sanitize it just like they sanitize so much and they make you afraid and like, oh, I want to live. I mean, I'm sure.
And Henry Kissinger, I mean, he wants to dispose of the elderly, the so-called useless eaters. Well, I recommend Henry be the first to go because he's done more damage to this world than any other American I can name, with the possible exception of Tony the Rat Fauci, who, as you've heard me say before, has done more destruction of this nation than all our foreign enemies combined, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito. He has done more. And the fact is, he's a pseudo-authority. We just have, if you want to follow the science, I have just published on my blog, I have just shared two studies, one a Danish mask study, randomized, completely objective scientific, showing there's no statistically significant benefit from wearing face masks in dealing with COVID. And the other is a study across nations showing that the lockdowns are bringing about increases in mortality after they are imposed. They're not giving any benefit to society either. So if you follow the science, and we're endlessly told to do that, you should oppose lockdowns, oppose face masks, and stop for pretty
Amen, Jim. We're at the bottom of the hour break. Stay tuned for much more with the legendary Dr. Jim Fetzer.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Okay, we're disengaged from Rev Radio, but we're still on the video portion of this, Jim. So what a great point you made as we went into the bottom of the hour break. It's so
enter into
cool.
A world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Chat about it afterwards for a moment or two until you bring in the next hour's presenter. But Jim,
hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio.
Yeah, go down
and learn what's really going down.
Okay, sounds good.
The little honey on the lone highway.
Scorpio, what do you think, man? 80 years old. I'm sure you're going to be driving at 80. I know it. I know you will.
They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the Lone Highway.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello?
Hey, Tools. Hold 1 second.
Okay.
Welcome back to the second half hour of The Perfect Triangle. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo from the District of Criminals, joined by my co-host, David Scorpio from the exotic land of Ecuador, and we're covering Jim Fetzer's amazing False Flags and Conspiracies 2020 virtual conference beginning tomorrow, 12:05, early in the morning, going 12 hours each day. He's got a remarkable array of presenters, including the gentleman who just joined us, engineer, iconoclast, heretic, 9/11 expert, Joe Olson. Joe, how are you today?
Oh, great, guys. Are we audio only?
Yes, audio only today.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, darn, I don't need all the extra lighting.
No, you kept dropping out last time, so I figured we would just make it simple and do audio.
Yeah, I'm at a better hotel with a lot better signal because I'll be doing tomorrow's broadcast. It will be a Skype or Zoom. So anyhow, yeah, let's jump right into it.
Okay, great. I mean, I could. You want me to send you the link?
We could try it because I would like to go ahead and try it and make sure this signal works because I've got a hotel Wi-Fi that I can connect to tomorrow if this doesn't work well. So I was hoping to do a test. But, yeah, let's do that. Do a little bit about video.
Okay, well, we'll talk while I'm doing that. Want me to email it to you?
No, send it to my iPhone.
Oh, send it to your phone. Okay, let me see.
Yeah, it's the same way we did it last time. You send it as a DM, and then I just join in progress. And I think I've already got Skype and Zoom apps loaded, so that unless you're using something different.
Okay, I just need to then email that link to myself and then copy it over from my iPhone. Okay, so Joe, start to tell us about your presentation coming up. Are you going Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. And I'm going to be from 3 to 4, and then from 4 to 5 is going to be Jeff Prager, who surprisingly enough is the one who translated the Heinz Palmer material from German to English, and he also did the voice dubs. So it's real interesting to discuss that with him because that's a pivotal part of this whole puzzle. Absolutely stunning work by four German physicists over a decade. And they missed a few things, but I helped them fill in the blanks. So that is an excellent presentation, and it'll be the core of what we're talking about tomorrow. Back up a bit, last Friday we had a discussion from 5 till 7, and then midnight to 2 I was on with Coast to Coast AM doing Body Electric Secrets. Shocking what Robert Becker discovered starting in 1961, published a book on it in 1985. They've had the ability to regenerate limbs and to do magnetic anesthesia and all sorts of wonderful medical advancements that these guys discovered, and it's all been sequestered by the medical mafia. So that was a great program on Coast to Coast last Friday night.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was awesome. And that's a big stage to be on, man. That was really cool.
Yeah, 2 million listeners. So you sending me a link?
Yep, I'm doing it right now. So I'm going to text this to you, okay. And, all right.
And we're already 4 minutes in. I hope we got extra time.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time.
Oh, good. Because I want to cover a little bit of the COVID stuff. What we're looking at is full-spectrum asymmetrical warfare by the most evil geniuses on the planet. Maybe website, maybe empty message.
Well,
I think I had to hang up in order to pick that up.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and hang up. And the link is there. I see it.
Let me try that. Okay.
Okay.
Back sounds in a good. Flash.
Okay, sounds great. Well, Scorpio,
Joe sounds kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, he was on a cell phone. He's going to try and come in on StreamYard now, so that'll be better. So we'll wait a moment and see a couple of comments. That's interesting. Lark's got a couple questions for Jim, but he'll return shortly. Lark, he's having dinner with his lovely wife, and he'll be back. And in the meantime, we're waiting for Joe Olson to join us on the webcast part of it. And so that should be coming soon. So tomorrow, Scorpio, man, that's going to be a great show with Blackbird 9 and Golden Pipe Wrench making their triumphant return to Revolution Radio.
Yeah, man, those guys are both super sharp, and I like their work on, you know, the macro vision of systems.
Right.
It's very important. And, you know, Vicki Davis last week sort of hit upon a similar type of perspective there, and it's not something that I personally am well-versed in because I'm not a software engineer or anything like that.
Right.
So it's something I find very interesting and very informative on a personal level.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've had many, many discussions in my life with engineers and scientists, and it's fascinating how their mind is trained much differently than mine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's how you learn, man.
Without a doubt. So I'm not seeing Joe Olson at all. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I listened to Joe's interview on Coast to Coast, and it was really, really good, actually.
It was really good. Really good, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but who was the host's name?
It was Richard Surrett, the Canadian dude who does
Sarah,
the conspiracy show for many, many years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, pretty good. Yeah, it is pretty good. And so we'll just have to see what's going on. I mean, at some point, let me click on it. Yeah, it works. I just clicked on it to test it. So must be something else going on with Joe. That's all right, though. You and I can certainly carry a discussion. Yeah, man, you see where Biden wants to go 100 days with masks when he gets in there? And it's hard to
believe. It's only 100 days, Giuseppe. He's not going to go beyond that.
Oh, he's not.
But of course, in reality, the game is it'll be 100 days. And, hey, just another 100 days. Don't worry, guys. And that's going to be the game. And, of course, he asked Anthony Fauci to be on his COVID response team or to head the COVID response team. Isn't that special?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Tony Fauci is such a fraud. He's such a manipulative Jesuit weasel, you know. I mean, the kind of backstabber that gives the Jesuits a bad name, that's for sure. So,
well, and I hope you can take the time and everyone else listening to listen to or watch the video, Fauci's first lie, the AIDS pandemic. It's really interesting. You know, I almost didn't watch it because I figured, well, I know all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But this video really connects a lot of dots, and it really shows how this whole AIDS thing was sort of a test run for what we are experiencing now. Only this time you don't have to have sex to catch the virus. All you have to do is breathe.
Where is that video located, Scorpio? I remember
it was on YouTube as of a couple of days ago. But you know how that goes. But it's titled Fauci's First Lie. And it's really good, man. I was actually surprised. Like I said, I almost didn't watch it because I figured, oh, I know about all this stuff. But the way it connects the dots and just shows that this was a test run for what we're experiencing now, it's really quite amazing. And of course, Tony the Rat was at the very heart of that thing too, back in the early 1980s. And he's going to extend himself into the Groper Joe administration now.
Yeah, what a joke. What an absolute joke. But such is life, right? I mean, they being the globalist parasites control things to such a shocking degree. And so it's called Fauci's First Lie, you said?
First Lie, yeah. I think the subtitle is The AIDS Epidemic or something like that.
Huh. Well, it's I wonder if they took it off already.
They may have. We'll have to search it on BitChute because, yeah. And it really shows the correlation between this, you know, this locker room thing. What do they call it? Amyl nitrate.
Oh, and butyl nitrate poppers. Yeah.
Yeah, poppers. And I didn't know this, but all of the homosexual magazines were being funded by ads butyl nitrate from different popper, companies. So it was pushed upon the homosexual community, that combined with lots of promiscuous sex and homosexuals getting, venereal diseases and then getting lots of antibiotics to treat them. It all came together to pretty much collapse the immune system of these people. Oh, here we go.
Joel Olson, welcome.
Surprise. I had to punch the... I was backstage the whole time talking, waiting for something to happen. I got to punch an extra button. We're there, finally. Okay.
All right, Joe, welcome. So tell us, it was hard to hear. Your cell phone was kind of fuzzy. So tell us about being on Coast to Coast and getting to present to 2 million people. That's a rarity. Most people don't get to do that. How did you feel, and what did you talk about?
That was my fourth time to be on Coast to Coast. Is the microphone working okay?
Yeah, you sound great. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Starting March 18th, 2015, and then June 1st, 2017, and then August 1st on 2019, I was a guest mainly talking about global warming, green energy, and peak oil and other forms of faux science. I had offered to discuss 911 on my last interview with George Norrie, and they declined to do that. But in order to do that, I wrote a paper on it, and we'll get to that in a minute. The program we did last Friday was on radio and electrical interference with biological systems. And for that, I read a book called Body Electric, written by Robert Becker, published in 1985, based on his lab research, which he started in 1961. He was an orthopedic surgeon at Syracuse VA Hospital, which is attached to Syracuse University. And Dr. DeBakey, who was a famous heart surgeon in Houston, was the one who developed the MASH units for military response and cut field deaths from 20% to 4% during World War II. So he was a really key figure, and when he was brought back, he was put in charge of developing VA hospitals nationwide, and he insisted that they all be located next to teaching universities so that they could share lab facilities, which was really providential. In 1967, the Rochester VA Hospital developed the first heart pacemaker. So that was a pretty interesting little coincidence. Dr. Becker was an orthopedic surgeon, and he had plenty of patients that came in with multiple fractures, you know, like automobile accidents, where they'd have enormous number of fractures in their body, and some would heal and some wouldn't. And he was wondering, you know, what causes some to heal and how can I help more of them heal? And so he started studying regeneration of limbs, which is pretty common in the lower order animal kingdom. But once you get past salamanders, the other amphibians like frogs do not regenerate limbs. And then no mammals, birds, or reptiles regenerate very much. The reptiles can regenerate a lost tail that they use as a defense mechanism. But bottom line is, he was studying the internal electrical currents that govern the regeneration and healing processes, and how they're milliamp and microvolt systems that can be interrupted very easily with electrical currents in standard household current, and also by radio transmissions. So that's what his area of study was, and it's really startling. It's a great program, and I wrote an article that was a preliminary to that called Body Electric Secrets. If you Google that in quotes, it'll take you to Principa Scientific. It's got the show notes, which is about a 1,500-word article with some of the diagrams that are out of the book. And it gives just basically a walking outline of the book. But the book is incredible, and that's mainly what we discussed.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I had been researching The Great Influenza by John M. Barry when his book was published in 2004. It's the only book that I've ever read that I read cover to cover twice, because the ending was so much different than what I had preconceived. I wrote an article back in February at Principa Scientific called Pandemics Are Personal. And I added some additional cofactors to what Barry had done in the way of excellent research, 450-page book with 50 pages of bibliography. Then I started attending rallies in Texas. I went to the Remember the Alamode rally for Shelley Luther, the hair salon owner that got thrown in jail for a week for cutting hair 2 days early. And at that rally, there was State Senator Bob Hall, who is a U.S. electrical engineer and U.S. Air Force retired lieutenant. And I talked with him about 911. One of the other speakers was Colonel Alan West, former representative, U.S. representative from Florida, and U.S. Army colonel. And I talked to him about 911. And then the other speaker was Dr. Yvette Lozano, who is a Dallas physician that had been prescribing HCQ to all of her staff and any of her patients that wanted it, and was having a 100% success rate in prevention and cure of any of the symptoms involved with COVID. And she's having her license pulled by, or investigated by, the state board.
What a joke.
So, oh, it's horrible. And I go into that in my other articles. Another article I wrote is Last Waltz Across Texas, how four rhino fascists have been able to destroy every dance hall, every music venue, every band in the state of Texas, and their educational background. We have a governor that has a business administration degree and a law degree. We have a lieutenant governor that has a Bachelor of Arts in English. We have a attorney general who has an undergraduate degree in psychology and a law degree. And then the woman who's in charge of the Health and Human Services Committee, this is her first term as a Texas state senator, and she's got a degree in public relations. So obviously these four people are highly qualified to lock down the whole entire state of Texas. Next article I wrote was Wu Flu Wu Flu at Warp Speed. This is Novavax is growing their vaccine in viruses in insect cell cultures, where it absorbs a little bit of insect DNA with every iteration of the virus repeating itself. And so bottom line is, they're going to inject us with cockroach DNA, which I don't find to be very appetizing at all.
Yeah,
no, I did another article researching the barbaric history of medicine called Right to Try Voodoo. And this goes into medical practices that even up until the current time have been absolutely horrible. And then the last article on the WooFlu stuff is WooFlu Bats Stew News for You. And that's on hydrochloroquine, which decalcifies your pineal gland. Your pineal gland is calcified because you intake members of the halogen chemical family, which is column 7 on the periodic chart. And that includes fluoride and chlorine, and it also includes iodine. Iodine is mandatory to be able to produce hormones and have a functional immune system. Mm-hmm. But when you ingest low-grade fluoride and chlorine, you displace the iodine. You not only calcify your pineal gland, but you also calcify your thyroid and your pituitary gland.
Right.
So basically, we've been chemically poisoned by these son of a bitches for centuries.
And that's all intentional. They want to calcify the pineal gland because that, is the third eye. That's how you can connect.
Exactly. 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 So anyhow, I had been interviewed by James Fetzer. Actually,
who?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, James. Who was that masked man? James Fetzer. 2 days before I was interviewed by Coast to Coast back in March 15th, and I had been studying 911 since the day it happened. I attended the premiere of Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth DVD, 2-hour-long DVD, in Austin at the DoubleTree Hotel on Highway 35 with Alex Jones in May of 2009. It was a 4-hour-long press conference with a 2-hour-long DVD and an 1-hour-long presentation by Gage and an hour by Jones. I got there an hour early. I reviewed the signed, steel-stamped structural drawings approved by the city of New York for World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. I saw the side-by-side demolitions. James, oh, it's great to see you, bro.
How are you, Joe? It's great to see you.
Well, we're doing a test run to find out if I got a hotel with a better Wi-Fi than I had last week, and it looks like I do.
Oh, way better, Joe. Way better.
Oh, way better. And so then I was contacted. I had not written anything, but I had done several interviews with James Fetzer on 911, and the first one was called Unequivocal 911 Nukes. Last time I checked, it was on a dozen different YouTube channels with average of 10,000 views. And then they wiped everything that had James Fetzer's name on it off of YouTube. So that was early on in the purge cycle. So then I was contacted by Robert David Steele, who is doing a memo to the president, memorandum for the president on 911, Time for Truth, with 28 authors. I was one of those 28 authors, along with James Fetzer and another guy we'll get to in just a second. My memo to the president was Twin Towers destroyed using clean nukes.
Yeah.
So this has had 4 million views, so it's fairly popular. One of the other presenters was a guy named Mark Hightower, and he has a master's degree in chemical engineering. I didn't know it, but James had interviewed him separately. So when I was getting ready to be on Coast to Coast in August of 2019, I wrote an article titled Unequivocal 911 Nukes. This was posted at PrincipaAustralia.org, and then it was also posted at Veterans Today. One of my readers contacted me and said, you really need to get in touch with Heinz Palmer, who's a German physicist, and he and a group of physicists, four of them, have done a complete analysis of 911. I read the first part of this, and I went, oh, my God, this is exactly what Veterans Today has been saying since 2014. And I had read every one of the Veterans Today articles contemporaneously when they came out. So I forwarded it to Gordon Duff. He posted it under Breathtaking Solving Nuclear 911, the Palmer Report. Now, this is a 5,000-word article. It includes 40 PowerPoint slides, which go through the entire sequence of the operation. And it has three 90-minute videos that are embedded. James Prather is going to be the guest following me tomorrow at the False Flag Conference. And he's the one that translated these documents from German to English. And he also did the voice dubs on the three 90-minute videos. And I've talked with him, extremely knowledgeable about what's going on. So in that article by Palmer, he casually mentions that iron has four stable isotopes. Well, I've been studying natural earth radioactivity and nuclear power plants and hydrogen embrittlement of the steel structures inside power plants because of gamma ray absorption. And so I thought, well, if iron's got four stable isotopes, how many radioactive isotopes does it have? Oh, it's got 24. Well, what are the other building components? Calcium has five stable isotopes, has 26 radioactive isotopes. Calcium's used in the cement. Carbon, which is used in the steel and in the cement, because calcium carbonate's a major portion of concrete, has two stable and 15 radioactive. And silicon, which is what silicon dioxide, the sand that's in concrete, is made of, it has three stable and 23 radioactive isotopes. So bottom line is you have 98 available gamma ray absorbers inside the building just with those four building elements. So when you have a core of a building that is 50 concrete-lined elevator shafts and three concrete-lined stairway shafts going from floor to ceiling, you have a natural gamma sink that when you plant the nuclear bomb on the granite bedrock underneath the building and direct the plasma up through the core of the building, it absorbs all those gamma rays and prevents you from having a gigantic nuclear cloud above the building just because it's absorbing it as a, what's the name that they like to use for that? Anyhow, it's a modifier that absorbs the and reduces the heat.
Joe, we're coming to the top of the hour. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and join us for hour two with the legendary Jim Fetzer, Joe Olson, and more. We'll be back after the messages.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace.
stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to hour two of The Perfect Triangle. I'm Giuseppe Vaffangulo, joined with co-host David Scorpio. And today's featured guest, the legendary Dr. Jim Fetzer, and Joe Olson, who's going to be one of the presenters at the False Flags Conspiracy 2020 virtual conference going on tomorrow all day, Saturday all day, Sunday. It is really a must view, and the professor's got a great discount for you, which we'll address in a couple moments. But first, Revolution Radio has been here for 10 years, championing free speech, more important than ever with the outrageous lies of the globalist parasites and with this scamdemic and this mask entrainment and slavery. And now they want to vaccinate you with an insane, deadly DNA rewriting, untested, unproven virus. I mean, vaccine, rather. It's just insane. So we need you to support our efforts. We get no advertisements from corporate muckety mucks. It's all listener supported. So if you could go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, the website, and we invite you to go there to join in on the chat and be part of the discussion. And if you look at the top of the website, you can make an outright donation one time, or you can go to the Zazzle store and get some awesome t-shirts, bags, hats. They'll even print tennis shoes if you'd like to represent with a nice pair of high tops. But the best way, if you could, is go to Patreon, Revolution Radio on Patreon, and sign up for $5, $10 a month, you know, which is essentially skipping a Starbucks Venti Latte, or you know, skipping a Chipotle big burrito. And then if you could sign up and donate every month via Patreon, that would be great. Please donate. We're running a little low in donations in November, and we really need to make it up in December. So please donate as soon as possible and generously, because they're taking away so many outlets to get any kind of truthful, factual information. In fact, Scorpio in hour one was talking about a great documentary, Fauci's First Lie, on YouTube, and it's already gone. And I'm looking on BitChute, and nobody's put it up there yet. Well, BitChute's got such a horrible search engine. It might be there, but you can't find it. And so please support Revolution Radio. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about the conference, how people can sign up, and I know you want to offer them a generous discount.
Well, it's very easy to sign up, Giuseppe. You just go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com, falseflagconspiracies2020.com, and I'm offering a 50% discount. It was heretofore $100 for the entire conference. Now it's only 50 if you use the code C2C. I initially made that available to Coast to Coast via Joe, but he didn't have the chance to pitch it. So the code's still good. I also wanted to comment on some things Joe had said. T. Mark Hightower, who's a chemical engineer, and I published three articles in 2011, not one, not two, but three, demonstrating that nanothermite can't possibly have been responsible for the destruction of the Twin Towers. that it has 1/13 the explosive power of TNT, that it would take a staggering quantity. In fact, Niels Herit, who's an associate professor emeritus of chemistry at the University of Copenhagen, when asked to estimate how much nanothermite it would take to blow apart a twin power set, 26,000 metric tons. I mean, that's like filling a twin tower 110 floors with circus peanuts. I mean, it's just absurd. And the fact is, what Mark and I established is that in order to destroy a material with an explosive, it must have a detonation velocity equal to or greater than the speed of sound in that material. Now, the speed of sound in concrete is 3,200 meters per second, in steel, 6,100 meters per second, but the highest detonation velocity attributed to nanothermite is 895 meters per second, which means you can't get there from there. It couldn't possibly do it. So you have this organization calling itself Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, presenting the totally false claim that nanothermite was crucial to understanding what happened. It's complete bullshit. I called them out, as I have Judy Wood and her dues group, as a limited hangout. They're trying to give you the impression they're doing something serious when they're not. It's an attempt to cover up. And would you believe, neither Judy Wood and dues nor Richard Gage and Architects and Engineers is willing to talk about who was responsible and why, which means anything they have to say, even if they had an adequate account about how it was done, would be meaningless to most Americans because they don't have a narrative context of what was going on and why it's important to appreciate the significance thereof.
Well, Jim, some breaking news is in honor of your False Flag Conspiracy 2020, Judy Wood has agreed to jello wrestle you.
That would not be a fun experience.
Hey, we got somebody stopping by. Michael Ivey's here.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Kicking around a few thoughts about this weekend, Michael.
About this weekend?
Yeah, the conference.
False Flag Conspiracy 2020.
Well, I signed up for it earlier today.
Good. That's awesome.
So did I. I did. I took advantage of the discount.
Right now, I'm at a sleazy local bar having a beer.
That's awesome, Michael. That's fantastic.
What else would I do? I got Paul Revere and the Raiders on the PA here.
That's fantastic. So that's, I know you're here to wish the good professor a happy birthday, right?
Michael, did you see the film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I have actually not seen that whole film.
Well, it's Tarantino's version of the Charles Manson, you know. And what's a funny part is the woman who plays Sharon Tate shows herself playing Paul Revere in the Raiders, and it's supposed to be something that makes her unpopular because it's not, you know, in at the time.
Oh, it's cool, funny. Cool.
It's funny you mentioned Paul Revere in the Raiders.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that somebody's having a milestone birthday pretty soon.
Well, I've heard that rumor too, but we'll see. Maybe not anymore. like that rumor that Lee Oswald was standing in the book depository doorway when the JFK motorcade went by. They decided that was just a false rumor.
So maybe right.
Epical birthday is another of those false rumors.
Well, I heard fortune favors the brave, so I'm betting on your surviving until you make it.
Well, I didn't mean I would expire between now and then. Just the whole idea, you know. I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon.
All right.
So, Michael, that's pretty cool. Down in North Kakalaki, you can sit in a bar not wearing a mask and have a beer. That's awesome. Can't do that here.
It's a special freedom pocket that I've scouted out around here.
Oh, nice.
So it became my favorite place just for that reason.
Yeah, I remember when was it? what the heck? Oh, Friday night, last Friday, we had so much turkey and leftovers that we had to create a temporary refrigerator with a big cooler. So I went to buy a big bag of ice, and there's a Middle Eastern restaurant here in Bolshevik controlled Northern Virginia, which is right near where I went to buy the bag of ice. And it was great to see their disco was just hopping. They had, you know, hundreds of people there, and they were just, you could see it all through the glass. And I was like, man, I'm glad those people are living their lives and not believing this utter bullshit lies and mind control.
Isn't that the truth? We have one of those dictator governors here,
Cooper,
who tightened up. Roy the Rat Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of rats on that ship.
Tightened up recently, and it struck me that I looked at a list of states that have no mask mandate, and South Carolina is on that list, and Tennessee is on that list, right?
Oh, wow.
So where we're located here in Asheville, I could drive 40 miles to the south and not be subject to a mask mandate, or I could drive 30 miles to the north and not be subject to a mask mandate.
Oh, you're that close to the borders? I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, it's in the sort of a panhandle-ish section of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't that speak to what a smart virus we have?
Exactly right. Yep.
It only attacks people in this area, but not in if you drive a little ways.
Mm, yeah, too crazy. Scorpio, any thoughts? You've been quiet for quite a while.
No, you guys go ahead. I'll jump in later.
Okay. Joe Olson, so you're talking about 9/11. Let me look at the list of speakers. So your actual presentation is 9/11, where did the towers go? And I'm sure that's going to be an awesome one. And Jim, so how did you – do you want to go through the list a little bit and explain why, since you're the curator of this two-day event, what you were thinking when you pulled these people in? And is there a theme to all this, or?
Well, sure. The theme is false flags and conspiracy.
What?
I mean, huh? Our lives are being managed. Our opinions are being manipulated by stage events. It all goes back to Barack Obama actually nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. Where the Smith-Mundt Act had precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda, including, by the way, the theft of elections using voting machines that the CIA was using abroad within the United States. So he legalized all that just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. And in the wake, we've had the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. These were all staged events. I've done a massive amount of research about all of them. I may have the chance to cover some of those during the next 2 days if I have the opportunity, which may well turn out to be the case. Because, you know, with the vicissitudes for the live conference, when you got dealing with 24 people, there are too many circumstances that can make it difficult or impossible for them to actually be there when at the designated time. But believe me, everyone is going to get their money's worth. I have no doubt about it. Even after the first couple of presentations, that's going to be completely obvious.
And don't you love the Orwellian language in the modernization of the Smith-Mundt Act?
Yeah.
What it actually was the destruction of the Smith-Mundt Act. Let's bring it and make it modern.
It was a nullification. You're completely right, Michael.
And the other thing people should understand is, Jim, you're going to set up for, I don't know, 28 days, 21 days, the ability for subscribers to the virtual conference to go back and watch presentations they might have missed. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah, sure. We're going to make the whole archives available for at least a month, possibly longer. So Jack and I were just working on that today.
That's great. That's great.
I mean, you know, how many people – look, I would bet I'm the only person in the world who's going to be there for the whole 24 hours, you know, because I'm hosting. I'll be there the whole time, but I'll bet no one else in the world sticks to it for the whole show. So they want to have the opportunity to come back. In fact, it was only after Jack and I were talking about the subscriptions that it occurred to me. Many might find this overwhelming. I mean, you know, they're not going to be able to sit at the computer for 12 hours Saturday and another 12 on Sunday. So we needed to figure out a way to make everything accessible so they can pick and choose what they think is most important and then come back at their leisure to watch the rest.
That's a great idea. That's definitely the way to go. I'm particularly interested in the fella, Tony Mead. How did you come across Tony Mead, Satanic Pedophilia in Elite Society, which is rampant, and how does he have expertise in that area?
Well, Giuseppe, Tony got deeply involved in Sandy Hook research early on. It was he who really exposed that the so-called Honor Network was actually going out to take down videos off of the internet where Leonard Posner has claimed to have taken down over 1,500 videos from YouTube that he boasted during an interview with a colleague in Germany that he and his group had been responsible for taking down tens of thousands of content items from the internet. And Tony just burrowed deeper and deeper. You know, there's a Church of Satan right there. It has its East Coast headquarters in Sandy Hook. And then there's another branch out in California. But there's many who have suspected that Sandy Hook was concealing some kind of pedophile ring. Frankly, it was all really just staged to promote gun control. It was the inspiration of Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Eric Holder. They were all involved in the contrivance. I mean, it's just shocking and embarrassing.
That is shocking and embarrassing. And it's funny, our colleague and one of the fantastic presenters, Chris Weinert, who couldn't be here tonight with his show, Brutal Honesty, he brings up a brilliant point, which is that the COVID-19 deception, which is, you know, 250,000 people died of comorbidity. They're not dying from this phony, pretty moderate chest cold that you get. But nobody talks about the fact that FBI statistics last year, 1 million children were disappeared, kidnapped, stolen, and they're never found, and
So we moan and groan about 210,000. In fact, there's we know with a number of false positives, we know they're manufacturing the numbers. They're taking people who are dying from other causes and claiming they died with COVID, labeling COVID-19 victims as though they died because of COVID. I think it's going to turn out that it's a minuscule number, easily less than 10,000 who actually died from COVID-19.
Yeah, probably less than that, because it's literally – now you have to remember all those early murders, like with the ventilator, that was because they completely misdiagnosed what was going on and mistreated it. They murdered those people. They should have had them on oxygen and some type of blood thinner to allow oxygen. Instead, they put them on a ventilator when their lungs are already clotting up. It was insane, but it's not a stretch to believe they wanted to kill those people just to pad their numbers.
Yeah, speaking of...
I think Como was ulterior motive.
Right.
Go ahead. Well, Como's ulterior motive was to eliminate 20,000 911 nuclear downwinders in Brooklyn and Bronx who were having only nuclear-related lung cancers, and he needed to get those people off in a way that they could dismiss as being another factor and not have to discuss that.
Joe, that's stunning. I hope you include that tomorrow.
I hope you include that tomorrow. And then the other thing that we discovered in the body electric is that your red blood cells have hemoglobin, which uses iron to transport oxygen to your tissues and transport carbon dioxide back to your lungs where it makes the exchange. It has two outer shell electrons. When subjected to 5G radiation, the electrons vibrate and do not pick up oxygen and do not release carbon dioxide. That gives you the presentation of having a ventilation problem. And they had put 5G in those nursing homes so that they could electronically exterminate those people. They would present as having a respiratory problem when, in fact, the problem was that their blood was being ionized to not be able to carry oxygen and not function. So that was another one of the factors.
Interesting. Michael, you wanted to say something and you got cut off.
I was going to say when Jim brought up that the real COVID numbers might be minuscule, I just posted a really good interview with Lorraine Day to the BitChute site yesterday. And it's her contention that the same thing applies to deaths associated with the flu. She says that nobody dies of the flu, and that all these numbers that we're given every year, 35 to 40,000 flu deaths, all have to do with promotion of the flu vaccine.
Really?
Exactly right.
Yeah, I watched that video, Michael, that you sent me, and it was excellent. She makes a lot of valid points. And, of course, David Icke recently posted a video saying that there is no virus and that the whole thing is an absolute fraud. That's, I don't know if I believe that entirely, but it's certainly possible.
Well, you know, John Rappaport has done remarkable investigative work for years looking at the actual forensic and autopsy evidence of what killed people who supposedly were dying of the flu. And it was like one in 100 were actually killed by the flu. And instead, it was comorbidity again, the same scam.
Yes. Again and again and again.
Yeah, Lorraine Day says that the CDC is basically a for-profit organization, and most of their profit is made on vaccines and support from the big pharma companies to promote certain false beliefs in the American people.
So it's a PR operation for big pharma and hospitals.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe one of you guys has the answer to this. Why do CDC members wear military uniforms? I'm not clear on that.
They wear military uniforms?
Some do. The head of the CDC wears military uniform, and other high-up members of the CDC wear military uniforms.
That is something of which I was heretofore unaware.
Yeah, I've noticed that, but I don't know the reason for that relative to the CDC. Now, you know, the Surgeon General wears a military uniform. And just imagine if Joe Biden prevails, who the Surgeon General is going to be. Do you know who I'm talking about? He's nominated Rachel Levine.
Oh, God, the tranny.
To be the Surgeon General, and we'll be seeing him, her, in a military uniform.
Oh, Scorpio, here's the answer, that people in the CDC can be commissioned military officers, and they then are wearing their uniforms because they're in the military and they're working for the CDC.
That's another, obviously, PR stunt. Make it look as though they were more responsible and dedicated to the best interests of the nation than in fact is the case.
Well, it's also this phenomenon that I've been noticing, that where they're sort of rolling out the military more and more in civilian affairs, everything from, you know, Operation Warp Speed to handing out food at food banks and having the National Guard at airports now, questioning people about their COVID status. We're seeing a slow but sure unveiling of the military into civilian life.
Oh, Tara Bullshitty in the chat says CDC uniforms are public health service.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Public health service, yeah, not military.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, but they want to do the old mind rape of that there's authority, you know, so many people are entrained in, especially in America, to, if you see a uniform, you need to defer to the uniform, right? It's so funny.
Interesting fact about Hunter Biden, he got a commission. And when he got into all the trouble and they got him kicked out of the service, turns out his commission was because of his family connections, and it's a 2-week long course where all they really do is teach you the command structure, so you know who to salute to and how to identify uniforms and how to fold your uniform. But there's no boot camp involved, there's no commitment to the service other than you spend 2 weeks and then you get to walk around in a uniform and say you're a commissioned officer.
Well, there you go.
This is another absolute outrage.
Very reminiscent of George Bush Jr. getting to be a party boy, high on cocaine when he was supposed to be a pilot in, I think it was the Navy Reserves, wasn't it? It might have been the Air Force Reserves.
He was Texas. It was Air National Guard.
Oh, okay. Texas Air National Guard.
And then I think it might have been that they didn't have a place in Texas and they put him in Mississippi. But regardless, it was just Air National Guard. And he had a couple of hundred hours total of flight time. So his dad only had a couple hundred hours, too. And strangely enough, was a 18-year-old commissioned lieutenant pilot in command, which is another thing that was very unusual, because most World War II pilots were required, and they didn't have extensive prior training in aviation. They were required to have a college degree in order to get into the pilot program. But that's another story.
Well, here we are at the bottom of the hour, so we'll sign off of Revolution Radio for a few minutes, and then back for the final 30 minutes of The Perfect Triangle. Stay tuned for that.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
and I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the Perfect Triangle. I'm your host, Giuseppe Bafandulo, and we're joined by a full house of interested parties. Number one, to wish Dr. Jim Fetzer, a legend, a happy 80th birthday this Sunday, and to also celebrate his mega conference, False Flags Conspiracy 2020, which is going to occur on this Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th, Jim's birthday. And each day is action-packed with 10, 12 hours of presenters. And we're joined by another presenter, Dave Gaheri. Welcome to the Perfect Triangle. How are you, my friend?
Great. Good to be here. And, of course, happy birthday to Jim, which I knew, of course, I've known for years. And I'm not saying happy birthday now. You know, obviously it's a little early. It's December 6th.
Right.
But it really is a huge milestone for such a great man who has so many fans and is really probably, you know, the most underrated researcher out there, I think. And because he's constantly attacked by the powers who should not be.
What a great, that's exactly right, Dave. Well stated. So now you're going to be presenting, I'm looking at the list here, you're going to be presenting 2 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, The Hazards of Publishing Truth. And so what are some of the hazards of publishing
truth? Well, Jim, can you unmute Jim? Jim, you're muted. Jim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You don't hear them?
I will. Jim is muted, so I
okay,
think.
Okay, hold on. Let me try something again here.
Okay.
Oh, this should work now. Can you hear Jim now? Jim, say something.
Yeah, Dave. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you were muted before, Jim.
Oh, well, they sometimes Skype, even though I shared the screen for whatever reason, it didn't share. But they heard you, though. They heard you, Dave. So.
Okay, cool.
Well, because I have several other speakers addressing, you know, First Amendment issues, including Sarah Westall and Mike Palachek, who, with me, founded Moon Rock Books, which Dave is today the owner. I wanted to have Dave the opportunity to address another issue in which he's invested a huge amount of research, namely the attack on the USS Liberty in 1960.
Oh, so Dave, are you going to do the Liberty? That's even better. That was such an outrageous false flag.
Yes, yes. Jim brought it up, and of course I agreed to that, although I am still, it's incredible. This is like, you know, a topic that, you know, the research really, I mean, it's going to end, but, you know, I'm actually almost done with what's at hand as far as understanding what happened. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that. And I've got information that really has never been out there before. So people who are interested in this matter, I think, you know, will be pleasantly surprised.
Wow, well, that's fantastic.
That's one of the changes to the program that will be announced Sunday morning. You know, I don't want to overwhelm everyone, but I mean, I think it's terrific. Dave's perfect. He's got a book about it. He's working on a documentary about it, to the status of which he can elaborate. But I think he's perfect for that topic.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I used to really enjoy when Dave was co-hosting with one of the survivors of the USS Liberty on Rents Radio. Those were some great shows, and they were pulling in other survivors. That was really compelling, and it's unfortunate that good old Rents, you know, likes to blow things up pretty regularly, because those were some great shows.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the USS Liberty Massacre Hour with Phil Turney, and of course Phil was the fellow who really, you know, got me pulled into the whole Liberty thing. And as a matter of fact, it was funny because we were, is it okay to talk about a little bit about
that? Yeah, please. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so like I said, there's so much to this story that most people, I guess, would, you know, feel that they know what they need to know about it, but that's not the case. And the same goes for me. Of course, I'm a little bit further along, but the point is that, you know, for example, the whole, you know, theory about it being a false flag, we'll address that in the conference. And you know, the information, as I said, that will be introduced will make people think and perhaps rethink what they believe about the Liberty. But as far as the show on Rents Radio, which was the USS Liberty Massacre Hour, what happened was that we were offered the show there, and, you know, we had to come up with a name. And I remember, you know, Phil had said, well, what are we going to call it? And I, you know, I said, I don't know yet. Right. And the way that I function most of the time is like stuff just has to pop into my head. And once it pops in there, then I'll know if it's right. And it just, fortunately, it happens most of the time. And I realized that at that point, all the time I had been talking about the Liberty, the words that were being used to describe it were attack, or incident. Even some people would use the word battle, but of course it wasn't a battle because there wasn't another side fighting against Israel. And then I realized that, well, it was a massacre. That's what it was. It was actually a massacre. And I stopped calling it battle, or not, I stopped calling it, sorry, attack. And I pretty much exclusively used the word massacre. And so when that popped into my head, I said, Phil, why don't we call it the USS Liberty Massacre Hour? Because it was an hour-long show, and he loved the idea. And what happened was that when we sent out emails to inform people about the new show and who was going to be on, and as you said, you know, we had a bunch of good guests on there and sometimes survivors, and I know a lot of them. And so, of course, Phil knows them. What I meant was that I have, you know, I have some kind of a, you know, relationship with a lot of them. And so them coming on the show, it was nice because we all knew each other And, you know, there was that, you know, that camaraderie, and it flowed. But so we sent out the first email, and what happened was somebody replied, not someone who was on the Liberty, but someone who had attached themselves to the Liberty cause. And she said that, you know, instead of saying, for example, you know, congratulations on your, you know, new show, can't wait to hear it, you know, I'm a Liberty supporter. What she said was, geez, I really wish you would change the name. You know, I would never listen to a show that that had massacre in its title.
Oh, geez.
And that kind of opened up a can of worms, and people were chiming in, you know, email wise. And some of the survivors said, well, wait a second, you know, he's right. It was a massacre. And there was another person who, you know, if I said the name, all you guys would know who he was. But he also had a problem with the word massacre. And both of these people were Jews, which I don't think was a coincidence. And so it was interesting, because if anyone studies the Liberty, it would be clear to them that that's what it was. It was a massacre. When you've got Liberty sailors and officers sunbathing on the deck of this unarmed listening post, it was not a warship, it was a converted cargo ship. They're sunbathing and they're in international waters, and there's only four 50 caliber machine guns that it has to repel boarders like pirates. When Israel attacked the way that they did with the jets and the fighter bombers and the torpedo boats against a crew that had nothing, not even small arms, because they couldn't get into the locker because the master at arms was, I think, disabled or killed. So, and he was the only one with a key, which was pretty stupid. But then again, what could they do with, you know, M1 Garands and pistols?
Right.
So just that revelation that, you know, here are people ostensibly on the side of the Liberty who want to get the story out, but they're fighting people who are trying to get the story out. And that's one of the things about the Liberty, is that one of the reasons the story has never gotten any traction is because of actually the people who have latched themselves onto the Liberty to actually get the story out. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's funny. I was out and about a little bit. You know, we picked up our boy at school, and then we ran over to Lowe's to, you know, those lights under your, you know, that are over your stove, under your microwave. And, you know, when they go out, you're done. I mean, it's pitch black under there. So
right,
we went
right.
Yeah, and you know, you get the LEDs thinking, and they say lasts 1,000,000 hours, you know, and the thing lasts for like a week, and then you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we went to Lowe's to get a regular light bulb, and we ended up getting a Christmas tree, because it's time, and we like real trees, and so I ran into one of the employees there who I've known since we moved down here to Crestview. End of 2014, beginning of 2015. And I had quite some time ago lent him a copy of the Liberty book, because he's military. There's a lot of military down here in Crestview. Sorry about that sound. There's a lot of military down here in Crestview, and a lot of Air Force. And so I hadn't seen him since I gave it to him. And We ran into each other. He said, I love that book. He said, but that needs to be a movie. How could nobody know about this? You know, and he said, but it got me angry. And, you know, that is so true, you know, about what he said, because I told him, I said, well, you know, the most incredible thing about the Liberty is it is the highest decorated ship in the history of the United States Navy for a single action. but nobody knows about it because it got 208 Purple Hearts. And it got a bunch of other awards. I mean, there was a Medal of Honor given to the captain. There were Silver Stars, Navy Crosses, and some other ones, Presidential Unit Citation for the ship. So there is no other ship that comes close to that. And of course, when a Purple Heart is awarded, that means you have been injured in combat against an enemy. And so obviously that meant that Israel was the enemy at the time. And although none of the awards that were given and none of the tombstones mention Israel. So they all say something like died in the Eastern Mediterranean, you know, like from a heart attack or from SARS, you know, whatever, or COVID, whatever. So there was one award that was given like 40 years later, which does mention Israel. There's only one. So that's the only one. But, you know, that obviously, you know, that is the power of Israel. But there's also the possibility that the Liberty attack, the Liberty massacre, was a mistake, a case of mistaken identity. So we can't discount that. You know, there's a lot to know about this story. There's a lot of the background that people need to pay attention to, the geopolitical history, the diplomatic history, the military history, the history of the Soviet Union, the history of Israel's attempt to get nuclear weapons. So all of this plays into the story of Liberty. Jim, did you want to say something?
Well, yeah, Dave. I mean, you know, we have transcript communications between the Israeli pilots and their command identifying this as an American ship, and they were directed to go ahead and attack it anyway. So I don't believe there's any possibility of a mistaken identity here.
Yeah, yes, that is something that, again,
claim it was done by the Egyptians to draw the U.S. into the side of Israel, where Moshe Dayan, frankly, didn't need any help.
Yeah, the thing is, and that's why I was fortunate because I was able to speak to a lot of people, including the lead pilot, the lead Israeli pilot who attacked the Liberty. And those transcripts, Jim, they may not be authentic.
Interesting.
Yes.
David, if I were caught with my pants down, I might say something like that, too. We're getting that now, you know, on a multiple fronts about election theft and all that, David. I mean, just between you and me, I don't buy it.
Yeah, no, and you don't. Of course, you don't have to. I'm just saying that the evidence that is out there right now shows that there were communications intercepted by the NSA via an EC-121 airplane flying overhead, like 50,000 feet, I think it was. And there is that. There are the transcripts, the ostensible transcripts from that. There's also that movie, The Day Israel Attacked America by Al Jazeera, where Richard Belfield, claims that he got his hands on some transcripts where they're saying, you know, well, that's an American ship. I see the flag. We'll fire on it anyway. But the evidence, again, and you have to go back to the evidence, and you have to go back to the history of the time and weigh it all. And all I can do is present the evidence and let the audience decide what they want to believe. So I have my own opinion about what happened and why it happened. As far as the attack being intentional and them doing it to draw the United States into the war on Israel's side against Egypt, I don't think that makes any sense because the war was basically over by the time the Liberty got there. So The war began on June 5th at about 7:45 in the morning, and it was over, you know, for Egypt basically that day, and it was over for Jordan the next day. So the Liberty came onto station on June 8th at about 2 in the morning local time, and of course it was attacked 12 hours later. So there was no war to get involved in. It was pretty much all done. So Israel very quickly took care of Egypt's air force and took care of their army. And Syria had simply retreated for a variety of reasons. And Jordan was pretty much destroyed rather quickly. And they grabbed the West Bank. Of course, they grabbed the Sinai Peninsula and the Gaza Strip. And the only thing they had to grab after that, and it wasn't certain that they were going to do that, was the Golan Heights. And so the Liberty came into the Eastern Mediterranean at 2 in the morning. They were certainly surveilled for about 6 hours, from about 0600 till about 1200 hours. And then 2 hours later was when that attack, that massacre started. And of course, if they wanted to take the Liberty out, all they would have to do was drop one heavy bomb on it, because it was just a cargo ship and it would have gone down. But there was no Egypt to be apprised of. Even if they did, let's say, sink the Liberty, who would know about it? There was nobody there to know about it. So there's a lot of information that really puts this into a different arena than looking at it as just a false flag. Coupled with the fact that there really would be no benefit for Israel to attack it. So, Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of information, and the more information you get, the more you look at it from a different light.
Wow, that's going to be an excellent presentation. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. So why don't we, somebody's making some wacky noises there. Why don't we go around the panel and start with Joe Olson. Joe, any final thoughts about leading into the great False Flag and Conspiracies 2020 conference starting off tomorrow and your presentation?
Well, if we got some extra time, providentially, I met Dr. Laura Presley, who had a city council seat stolen in Austin in 2014, and was able to prove that Hart InterCivic and election system and software machines had multiple back doors and were being manipulated in every election in Texas. And this has been known by the leadership in Texas for at least 5 years.
Wow.
Also, the week after the conference, Jim and I are going to be doing a program on perplexing Apollo questions for NASA, which is an article that I wrote about the impossibility of the lunar landing. So that'll be something fun to look for next weekend.
That sounds great. Michael Ivey, so what are your thoughts on this False Flag conference coming up? And it's excellent that you subscribed.
Basically, I'm looking forward to it. I had, just from what Dave said just now, I had a couple of questions, but we don't have time for them now. I just want to express my appreciation for Dr. James Fetzer and everything that he's done in the last 80 years of his life, and tell him I love him.
All right. We all love him. Dave Gaheri, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I hope it, it's a well-received conference. I think that, something like this is needed more than ever as the United States slides into the grip of, a totalitarian state that citizens are not allowed to express opinions other than that sanctioned by the Jews media, big tech, the Democrat politicians, that, you know, iron triangle that is suffocating the life out of the First Amendment. So I hope that a lot of people attend the conference and take away from it, you know, the important information that will be shared throughout the weekend, over the weekend.
Fantastic. Scorpio, you next, and then we'll give the final word to the birthday boy.
Okay, well, it's been a good conversation, and I wish you guys all the best on the conference. It should be very interesting, and yeah, happy birthday,
thank you,
Jim.
Thank you, Scorpio. Thank you, one and all. Let me just say what a privilege it is to work with each of you. You're making tremendous contributions. I'm very glad to have this opportunity to bring together so many experts on so many subjects. I'm afraid it's going to be a very serious hit for a lot of those who haven't thought these things through, because the enormity of what's going on here is so staggering that it's you know, just breathtaking what we have to deal with.
Man, isn't that the truth? And especially Dave Gaheri's excellent point that in a land that prides itself on free speech, it's shriveling up like a tied off appendix, and it's just so horrific what's going on. And so we have to do our part to support free speech and somehow wake up these sheeple who are so terrified and so into this religious cult of big pharma, allopathic corporate medicine that just is not seeking to heal people. They're seeking to keep them functionally ill and a revenue stream from cradle to grave. And it's just criminal that you've got these entranced normies who think that vaccinations, who think that all of these events are worthwhile in the sense to lose your free speech, to lose your right to assemble, to lose your right to have representative government. It's going on right now before our very eyes, and yet there's so few of us who actually see it and are doing something about it. Well, that's it for Perfect Triangle. Coming up next, Dr. Kevin Barrett. Truth. God, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.